I did it. I made it. I got through. We did it. Took a lot of time, a lot of effort, but we didn't quit. We got her done. So wouldn't that be a good thing? So I liked Pastor Kurt's explanation about things can be a positive or a negative. Well, that's positive because we didn't quit. We endured. We didn't give up. We kept going through. But then sometimes when we get through a rough time or situation, what do we say? I did it. I made it through. I endured. I didn't give up. So I think the Lord wants us to be reminded today that it's only because He gave us the strength to make it through. He enabled us. He empowered us. He kept us from quitting and giving up. Oh, you can do that again. Is that right? Yay. All right. I like the responses back. In Zechariah 4:8, it says, "This is the word of the Lord, not by might, not by power." So not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So let's make sure we're giving credit where credit is due. Yes, I could have chose to quit, but the Lord's the one who came and strengthened me and enabled me and graced me. It's His enabling grace that gets us through. He said that He will even cause the mountains to move out of our way. Come on. He will even cause the mountains to move out of our way. This is from Ezra. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. Come on. It's not like God gave him the ability to climb over the mountain. He said He was just going to flatten the mountain. I don't know about you, but I have a couple mountains I'd like to see flattened. Well, the same God that had that promise then is the same God we serve now. So did Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, do that? Did he cause it to happen? Can we cause mountains to collapse and flatten? No. God did it. And it goes on to say, when they set the final stone of the temple, the people will shout, "Grace, grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe." Marty, you've probably played that 300 times, didn't you? Yes. So if it's God's grace that gets us through and causes us not to quit and not to give up, then I think we need to revisit a little bit what grace means. It is God's influence upon our hearts and lives. God's influence upon our hearts and lives. It's His favor that causes us to be well and do well. Come on. It's His favor that causes us to be well and do well. That's what that word grace means. It's His influence upon our hearts and lives, and it's His favor that causes us to be well and do well. His grace, His grace. That's what enables us to get through. That what is what keeps us from being overwhelmed by situations. His grace. So I want us to look at a couple examples this morning, so that we leave here reminded that we get through tough times and we don't quit because His grace comes and gives us the ability. It actually enables us to not quit and not give up. So the first story we're going to look at is, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I know you know the story, So we're just going to look at certain scriptures, but it's Nehemiah. So remember, Nehemiah is a captive in a foreign land under a pagan king. Come on, a pagan king. You know, after studying this again this morning about two different rulers, pagan rulers, maybe that's why we're told to pray for those over us. Because he's serving, come on, he's serving, not cursing this king. And he goes to this king and says, the Lord's placed it on my heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And the king says, sure, you can go. I will send some military with you. I will send notes that this is what I want you to do, and you're allowed to go into the land. And I'll even send timber for the gates. Come on, a pagan king. But he was serving him and honoring him, and God used him. So he gets there, and he shows up. He's doing God's will, and everybody's just happy he showed up. Yeah, you're not remembering the story correctly. Not remembering the story. So he shows up, and what they had back then, they had area governors. So like the whole city of Jerusalem had been torn down. All the walls were gone. The gates, the wooden gates were burned. Everything was just piles of rubble everywhere. And he's gone back with this project to rebuild these walls. An almost impossible, unbelievable task. And he shows up, and now there are these governors there that are ruling in the king's stead over this area. And he says, hey, I came back, and this is what I'm going to do. When it came about, Nehemiah chapter 4. And it came about that when Sanballat, one of these leaders, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria, and he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Do they think they can restore this themselves? That they're going to offer sacrifices? Can they get it done in just a day? Can they revive the stones from the rubble that is burnt? See, sometimes God gives us a task or an assignment, and it looks impossible, but he's called us to do it. And when we tell other people we're going to do it, we expect them to go, yay, you're going to do this impossible thing. They go, yeah, you'll never do it. Can't be done. Never's been done. You don't have the resources. You don't have the people. Look at the mess you have to work with. So, yay, wasn't that encouraging? So listen what the next ruler says when he hears about it. Now, Tobiah, the Amorite, was near him, and he said, even what they're building, if a fox will jump on it, it'll fall down. Yay, right? Okay, verse 6. So, we built the wall to half its height. We joined it together where the people had a mind to work. So, the people decided they were doing it anyway. They didn't care they were being made fun of, that they were being mocked, that they didn't know if they could actually finish it, but they got it halfway done. Halfway done. Did they quit? Did they give up? Okay, verse 8. All of them, all of these other rulers around Jerusalem, conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance. You know, there's some people that they think their goal in life is just to cause a disturbance, and they do a good job at it. But we prayed to God. Come on. But we prayed to God. And because of them, we set up a guard day and night. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. There is much rubble. We are unable to rebuild the walls. Our enemies said, they'll not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near the camp came, they told us 10 times, they're going to come against you from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space, the exposed spaces, and I stationed the people in families with swords, spears, and bows. Then I saw their fear. See, sometimes we're in situations that cause us fear. Something is coming against us, something bigger than we can handle. I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and all of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. See, sometimes the Lord fights the battle for us. Other times, he empowers us to do the fighting. This time, they're standing ready to defend their family and their neighbors and their houses. When our enemies heard that we knew of their plan and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. Come on. So now they're getting to the place that they're building and working, and everything is done now but the gates. Well, that still exposes the city, right? Because that means if an army comes up, if an enemy comes up, yeah, they're going to see walls all around. But I think Jerusalem had 12 gates, so then you just go through a gate, right? So that is a warning to us. We have to be careful. We don't have any gates open, that we haven't made any decisions that allow the enemy access into us and into our lives and into our families. And they knew they had to make a big push to get this done, to get these gates up. But they started to become overwhelmed and discouraged. Come on, do the situations that come against us sometimes get us to the place where we're discouraged and overwhelmed? It's like, okay, we've got so far, we're not getting any further. We just can't get it done. Yeah? Chapter 6. Verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9. For they were trying to frighten us. They were thinking, they'll get discouraged with the work and it won't be done. So what'd they say? They all said, but God, come on, but God, now strengthen our hands. Now strengthen our hands. And Nehemiah entered the house of Shemaiah, and I don't know who it is, it doesn't really tell us, but Shemaiah says, hey, let's get together and go hide in the temple. And Nehemiah says, no, I'm not going to go hide in the temple. Yeah, I think we should. I think we just need to hide in the temple because the enemies are coming against us. So let's quit the work and go hide in the temple. And Nehemiah said, should I flee? Should I go into the temple? No, I'm not going to go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him, but he spoke this word against me because Tobiah and Sanballat, the two enemies, had hired him. He hired him for this reason, that I might be frightened and act accordingly and sin. What? So when we give in to fear, we're proving that we don't trust God, and that leads us to sin. So that they would have an evil report to speak against us. Verse 15. So the wall was completed in the 52nd day. Come on. Almost impossible task. When all of our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. Because, you listening? because they recognized that this work was accomplished with the help of God. See, right there it is. We can say, we did it! We finished it! We got through! We didn't give up! We made it! I did it. But we have to be careful that we say, because God enabled us. God strengthened us. God provided. God gave us courage. God caused us to not quit and give up. It's God who has helped us, CLCC, through each step of our history when you look back. We had an elders meeting this past week, and, you know, we've had some pretty rough seasons where, you know, Pastor Al was with us, and 20 minutes later into surgery, he wasn't with us. And then we made it through COVID. Come on. We've made it through some rough situations. But we want to remember it's because God provided. God enabled. I quoted to you earlier those verses about Zerubbabel. He helped Ezra, the priest, rebuild the temple. And that was a very similar story. Another Persian king, Cyrus, actually made a decree and said, God spoke to me that I should help you rebuild the temple. Wait a minute, God speaks to ungodly kings? Well, apparently, because this isn't the first time. And this king issued a decree and said, go back to Jerusalem, and I will pay to have the temple rebuilt. What? And not only will I repay to have the temple rebuilt, I will return everything that when we captured Jerusalem and burned it to the ground and destroyed it and carried everything back from God's house, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the cups, all of the incense, I'm going to send it all back with you. What? So think about the situation they were in and how God turned it around. Because Cyrus made the decree and sent them back. So we want to look at Ezra for just a moment. Ezra chapter 7. These were two extremely overwhelming and difficult situations. They would seem almost impossible if you looked at the materials that they had, the number of people that they had. It's like, how could this be accomplished? But God. But God. Ezra chapter 7, verse 27. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put such a thing in the king's heart, to adorn the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And he has extended loving kindness to me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. Thus I was strengthened. Come on. Thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Strengthened by God's grace. That's where our enabling and our strength comes from. To not give up, to not quit, to finish the assignment, his plans and his purposes. So do you believe he has times and purposes and plans for us still to accomplish? So where's the strength going to come from? Oh, come on! That was just one God. Come on! I know the rest of you know where our strength comes from. Come on! Come on! Let's go back and review that definition of grace again. God's influence upon our hearts and lives, and his favor that causes us to be well and do well. So do we need his grace today? I've had some times and seasons of difficulty and discouragement, and God strengthened me and comforted me and grace me to make it through. Having some situations right now that I need him to strengthen me, comfort me, and grace me to get through. But see, it'd be wrong for me to say, I did it. I accomplished it. I endured. I got through. When what really has happened is the same thing in our two examples today. Things didn't look great. Things came against them. They didn't have the provisions. They didn't have the people. They didn't have the strength. People were mocking them. And yet God enabled them and strengthened them to get through. Let's look at Psalm 18. We're going to spend some time with God today because I felt it was more important for you to spend time with Him than to hear a long, lengthy sermon from me. Because the strength doesn't come from what I'm saying. It comes from Him, His grace, His enabling. So who knows that Paul went through some difficult times? Come on, pretty much his entire life was one tragedy, one disaster, one situation after another. Betrayal and difficulty and being chased, and the king that he loved tried to kill him. Yeah, his children betrayed him. He got thrown out of Jerusalem. Oh, yay. You know, who wants to volunteer to be king, huh? So when you read through the Psalms, it's so interesting because you see him in the midst of the difficulty and he says, this is where I am and this is terrible and I'm down in the pit. I'm not going to make it out. And then you read three more verses and then he says, but God showed up and God strengthened me and God enabled me. So this is just one of the examples. It said he wrote this in the day that the Lord delivered him from his enemies and from King Saul. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Wow, what a great place to start. Come on. Oh, 18. Thank you, Frank. I didn't know I didn't say that. I love you, O Lord, my strength. See, he was still in a difficult situation and getting ready to go through this, but he knew from the past. He knew when I needed God before, God was my strength. And God's going to be my strength this time. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Sometimes we need him to be our rock because everything else around us is swaying and going left and going right and going up and going down. Okay, just look at the economy or anything else you want to look at. Nothing is steady, but what is he? He's a rock. Sometimes we need him to be a fortress. Because things are coming against us. Things are being thrown at us. And we need to just hide away with him for a season. Sometimes he needs to be our deliverer. Riding out in the white horse and saying, enough is enough. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. Come on. Any of those words ministering to you today? I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. I think it might be good to call upon the Lord. What do you think? The cords of death encompassed me. In other words, he was near dying. And the torrents of the ungodly terrified me. He was living in fear, extreme fear. The cords of hell surrounded me and the snares of death confronted me. Okay, he didn't just have a toothache. He wasn't just having a bad day. Do you get this? In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Come on. See, that's what I think we're to do today. In our distress, call upon the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry for help came to his ears. Verse 16, and he sent from on high and took me and drew me out of the deep waters. Come on, let's be real. Some of us are in deep waters. Or the waters are getting deeper, and we need him to draw us out of the deep waters. There's some folks not here this morning because they're in some deep waters. Nancy is at home not feeling well and in bed. And Dory's recovering from surgery. And we have other people that aren't here today because they're going through some deep waters. Some of you are here today and you're going through deep waters. So let's be real and honest today. You know, church is can be the most fakey place because we all come in and we all smile. We all say, yep, I'm doing good. Are you really? Well, I don't want to say I'm not because then I have to explain why I'm not. Plus, you don't have time for me to do that before the service starts. Well, you know, the church is open 45 to an hour early. Cafe's out there. You can come and sit out there and talk to one another. You can stay afterwards. But let's just be real. Right? Come on, can we be real? We're either going through deep waters, we've been through deep waters, or we're going to go through deep waters. Come on, one or the other. So he delivered me out of deep waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. We have an enemy. But God is bigger. God is stronger. God is higher. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, including the enemy. He delivered me from those who hated me, from those who were too mighty for me. See, sometimes the situation's just bigger than us. It's okay. Say, God, this is bigger than me. I can't do this. This is more than I can handle, more than I can figure out, but you're bigger. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay, his rock, his fortress, his shield, his deliverer. And he brought me forth into a broad place. So I was no longer cornered. I was no longer trapped. I was no longer in a situation that I didn't feel I could get out of. The Lord brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delights in me. See, sometimes we don't know the Lord delights in us. He loves us as his sons and his daughters. Verse 28. For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. Sometimes we're just in a situation that feels dark. It's discouraging. It's depressing. We can't really see clearly. We don't quite understand. We don't know where to go. But with you, O God, I can run upon or crush a whole troop. Come on. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. Can I leap over a wall without him helping? No. But he can enable us to leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a shield to all who take refuge in him. It's okay to run to him and take refuge. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? Sounds like a song I remember. The God who girds me with strength. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come and gird us with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on the high places. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Stacy and I have been in a few other countries, and we've actually seen on these steep, rocky mountains, these hills, goats. And they're just like on the side of the mountain. And you're like, how are they not falling backwards down the mountain? And how did they even get up there? I have no idea. But they have hinds' feet, okay, feet of the deers and the goats, and they just climb right up. God will enable you to climb even a impossible-looking mountain. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Some of us would have trouble bending a bow of wood. Bend a bow of bronze. He has also given me the shield of salvation. His right hand upholds me. Come on, is anything bigger than his right hand? Anything stronger than his right hand? And your gentleness makes me strong. He enlarges my steps under me, and my feet will not slip. Come on. Sometimes we feel like we're on a slippery slope and we're going somewhere we didn't want to go, didn't mean to go, but His feet, He can keep our feet from slipping. Yes. So maybe today you're in the middle of a difficulty. Maybe you have some struggles or some hardships. So we're going to just spend some time going to Him and saying, God, I'm coming to You. I'm just going to admit I can't do it myself. I can't get through without You. I need Your strength. I need Your provision. I need You to defend me. I need You to keep me from quitting. I need You to enable us to come out the other side victorious. Exactly like we read about today. He did it for Zerubbabel. He did it for Ezra. He did it for Nehemiah. He did it for David over and over and over again. Okay, so you want to just dim some of the lights, like maybe half the lights and these up front then, and start our song. So listen, folks, this is time to participate. This isn't a time to sit in your seat. So if participating to you and meeting with God means coming up front, kneeling at your seat, walking around, I don't care. I want us to be real. If it means yelling out to God like the blind man did, God, don't pass me by. I need You today. Then just yell out, God, don't pass me by. I need You today. If it means some tears, it means some tears. Come on. Let's just admit where we are and our need of Him so that He can strengthen us today. Two songs, so you take time and you meet with the Lord, whatever that looks like for you this morning.
Into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that You bring. And when You walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at Your feet and worship You. We worship You, oh. We love You. We'll never stop. Can't live without You, Jesus. We love You, and we can't get enough. Oh. Is for You, Jesus. When You walk into the room, the sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when You walk into the room, the dead begin to rise. There's resurrection light in all You do. We love You. We'll never stop. Can't live without You, Jesus. Permission, our hearts are Yours. We want You. We want You.
Yes. Yes.
Come and consume, God, all we are. We give You permission. Our hearts are Yours. We want You. We want You.
We need your strength today, Lord. We need you to give us grace today, fresh grace, grace that enables us, grace that empowers us, grace that draws us close. We run to you today. We're not going to stay distant. Let's all stand as we finish this last song and just raise our hands and say, God, you are the strength of my life. I come into your presence today. You enable me to walk and not faint, not give up. You will make a way. You're always holding on to me, God. Hold on to us today. Apprehend us today. You're the strength of our lives. You're the strength of my life. You're the strength of my life. We run into your arms today, into your presence today. Be our fortress, our shield, our deliverer, our high tower. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Nothing is impossible with you. Greater than any known, any situation.
Your
Jesus, 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 we run into your presence today. And we say we need your strength today. We need your grace today. We need your enabling today. We need you to come and bring light in darkness. We need you to come and grab us and lift us out of the deep waters and set us on the rock. So Jesus, we say today, you are my rock. You are my rock. Yes. And you are the strength of my life. Yes. You're the strength of my life. So we pull from you today your grace, your strength, your enabling. We receive from you today what you have desired to pour out on us today. You said that this was the day that we were going to come and admit that we needed you and that we could receive your strength and that you would gladly pour it out on us. So even as Nehemiah said, it's only because the Lord strengthened us. And Ezra said, it's only because the Lord enables us. And it's only because David said, you saved me from my enemies. You rescued me. And we're saying, it's only by your grace. It's only by your strength. It's only by you lifting us up that we're able to continue. We're able to make it through victorious. We're able to get to the other side. With your mighty right arm. Thank you, Jesus. The name that's above every other name. Father, dispel the impossible away from us today. Because you are the God that does the impossible. Nothing is impossible with you. So we look to you today to do what only you can do and what you want to do. Thank you for strengthening us today and meeting with us today. Amen, amen, amen.